Picture this. You're sitting in the run-up area. Engine warm. Temps in the green. Checklist done. You've got ground control dialed in and your hand on the push to talk. You know you need to make a call and you just sit there, keying the mic, releasing it, staring at the frequency like it's going to give you a hint. That moment right there, that's where radio phraseology lives, and if you've been through it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm Pattern. This is Traffic Pattern on Radio Hangar, and today we're going to talk about the radio, not the avionics box. The actual act of talking on it, the phraseology, the formula, the thing that separates the pilot who sounds like they belong in the sky from the one who clearly learned everything from a textbook and never practiced the words out loud. But before we get into it, shout out to our friends at AviationSoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. Got your first solo? There's a coin for that. Private pilot, instrument, commercial? They've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. AviationSoul.com. All right, let's talk about radio calls. Here's the thing about aviation radio communication that nobody really tells you up front. It is a second language, and like any language, the only way to get comfortable with it is to hear it, repeat it, and eventually stop translating it in your head before you speak it. The Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, gives us the framework in the Aeronautical Information Manual, or AIM. The AIM has an entire chapter on radio phraseology. And while it can feel like reading a legal document, it is actually built around a pretty elegant idea. Every radio call is designed to answer four questions as efficiently as possible. Who are you calling? Who are you? Where are you? And what do you want? That is it. That is the whole formula. Four questions. Every radio call you will ever make in a non-emergency situation fits inside those four answers. The AIM calls this the proper call format. I call it the call-up formula. And once you have it locked in, the radio gets a lot less scary. Let me walk through it. When you key up and contact a facility for the first time, you start by saying who you are calling. Dayton Ground. Seattle Approach, Oshkosh Tower. You are identifying the specific facility you're reaching out to. Why? Because controllers sometimes work multiple frequencies, and because the name of the facility orients everyone listening to the same channel. When you say Columbus Ground, every other pilot on that frequency knows this is a ground call, not an approach call, not a tower call. Next, you identify yourself. And this is where student pilots make their first mistake. You might think you should always say your full aircraft registration, Cessna November 1234 Foxtrot. And sometimes that is right, but after your initial call-up, once the controller has shortened your call sign, you use whatever they use. If they call you 34 Foxtrot, you become 34 Foxtrot for the rest of that conversation. This is in the AIM, Section 4-2. The controller abbreviates, and you match. The aircraft type matters too. You do not have to say it every call, but in your initial call-up, Cessna 172 November 1234 Foxtrot gives the controller information about your performance. A Cessna 172 and a Beechcraft Bonanza are not the same traffic problem. Performance matters. Say the type up front. Third piece, where are you? This is your position. 3 miles south, at the Bravo intersection, on the south ramp. If you're calling for a taxi clearance, you tell them where you're parked. If you're calling approach for a traffic advisory's pickup, you give your position relative to a fix or a distance and direction from the airport. The controller needs to find you in their mental picture before they can help you. And fourth, what do you want? With information Charlie ready to taxi for visual flight rules. Departure to the north. Requesting traffic advisories to Knoxville, VFR, 5500, inbound for landing. One sentence. What is the ask? Four pieces, who you are calling. Who you are, where you are, what you want. And here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. You do not have to deliver all four in a single breath. You can say who you are calling and who you are. Pause, wait for them to respond, and then deliver the rest. This is actually the standard for busy facilities. Dayton Ground, Cessna 78 Quebec. You stop. They come back. Cessna 78 Quebec, Dayton Ground. And then you give them the rest. This is called a two-step call, and it exists because on a busy frequency, delivering your full request before they are even ready to copy wastes everyone's time. At quieter facilities, you might give it all at once. At busier facilities, you split it. Listen first. Read the tempo of the frequency before you call. If calls are going rapid-fire, go two-step. If the frequency is quiet, give them everything. Now let's talk about what happens after the call-up, because this is where students lose the thread. When a controller responds to you, they are going to give you information and instructions. Your job is to read back the parts that matter. and the FAA is very specific about what has to come back to them. Runway assignments, read them back. Altitude assignments, read them back. Heading assignments, read them back. Frequency changes, read them back. And hold short instructions? You read those back verbatim every single time. Hold short instructions are one of the most critical safety items in ground operations, and the National Transportation Safety Board, or NTSB, has examined runway incursion accidents where the chain of events started with a pilot who heard a hold short instruction and never confirmed it. This is not bureaucratic box checking. The readback is the check. The readback is how you and the controller both confirm that what was said and what was heard are the same thing. Aviation calls this the readback-hearback loop. You read it back, the controller hears their own words come back correctly, and both of you know you are on the same page. If you read it back wrong, a good controller will correct you before anything else happens. The AIM covers this in section 4-2-3. Read back the critical items. All of them, do not paraphrase. Do not summarize. If the clearance says hold short of runway 14, you say hold short of runway 14 back to them. Not will do, not roger. Roger means you received the message. It does not mean you understood it. It does not mean you're going to do it. Roger is not a readback, and I know some pilots use Wilco interchangeably with Roger. They are not the same word. Roger, I received your message. Wilco, I received your message, and I will comply. Wilco is better than Roger when you're confirming an instruction, but it is still not a readback. The actual readback of the specific content is what closes the loop. Let me run you through a realistic scenario. You're at a towered airport single runway, and you want to take off and shoot some pattern work. You call ground, Springfield Ground, Cessna 172, November 886 Papa Hotel, at the South Ramp, with information Delta. Request taxi for pattern work. Ground comes back, Cessna 886 Papa Hotel, Springfield Ground, taxi to runway 36, via Whiskey, hold short of runway 36. What do you say? Taxi runway 36 via Whiskey, hold short of runway 36, 886 Papa Hotel? Notice what happened? You use the abbreviated call sign they gave you. You read back the runway, the taxiway, and the hold short, in that order, concise, clear, done. You taxi to the hold short line, you do your run-up, when you are ready you switch to tower. Springfield Tower, Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, holding short of runway 36, ready for departure, pattern work to the north, tower, Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, Springfield Tower, runway 36, cleared for takeoff, make left traffic, you, cleared for takeoff runway 36, left traffic 6 Papa Hotel. You read back the runway and the traffic pattern direction. Both of those are critical items. The direction of the traffic pattern affects every other aircraft in that airspace. Controllers give it for a reason. You confirm it? That is a clean exchange, efficient, professional, no hesitation. Here is something I wish someone told me when I was training. Controllers are not grading your voice. They are grading your clarity and your brevity. A controller does not care if you sound nervous. They care if you are confused, because confusion takes time to resolve, and time is what makes frequencies busy. The fastest way to sound confident on the radio is not to sound smooth, it is to be accurate. Accurate call sign. Accurate position, accurate readback. Accuracy sounds like confidence, even when your voice is shaking. Now let me walk through the non-towered situation, because this is where I see a lot of student pilots freeze up for a completely different reason. At a non-towered airport, there is no controller. You are self-announcing on the Common Traffic Advisory Frequency, or CTF. The CTAF might be Unicom, it might be a Multicom frequency depending on the airport. It is printed on your sectional and in your airport information. But the key thing is, you're not calling anyone specific. You are broadcasting your position and intentions so that other pilots nearby can build a mental picture of the traffic. At a non-towered airport, your call structure changes slightly. You are not asking for a clearance. Nobody can give you one. You are announcing what you're doing. When you're inbound, you start making calls about 10 miles out. Millbrook traffic, Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, 10 miles to the south, inbound for landing, Millbrook. That last word, Millbrook, is the airport name again. You start and end with it. That is because on a busy CTAF shared by multiple airports in the area, the repeated airport name at the end helps other pilots mentally sort out which airport you're talking about. From there, you make calls at each leg of the traffic pattern, entering the 45 for the downwind, crosswind, downwind, with your runway called out, base, final, clear of the runway, Millbrook traffic, Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, entering left downwind runway 22, Millbrook, Millbrook traffic. Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, left base runway 22, Millbrook, Millbrook traffic. Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, entering left downwind runway 22, Millbrook. Millbrook traffic, Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, left base runway 22, Millbrook traffic, Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, left base runway 22, Millbrook traffic, Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, left base runway 22, Millbrook traffic, Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, left base runway 22, Millbrook traffic, Cessna 6 Papa Hotel, clear of runway 22, Millbrook. Every call tells the other traffic exactly where you are in the pattern. The goal is that any other pilot listening can place you on a mental map and know where you will be by the time they get where they are going. What does not work is a vague call. Millbrook traffic, Cessna 6, Papa Hotel, in the pattern, where in the pattern, downwind, final runway 22 or 24. The whole point of the self-announced call is specificity. Other pilots cannot see you. Your words are the only picture they have. The AIM covers non-towered airport operations in Section 4-1. The Airman certification standards for the private pilot practical test require you to demonstrate proper radio communication, and your examiner is going to be listening to every transmission you make. They are not just listening for correct pronunciation, they are listening for whether you give complete information, whether your readbacks are accurate, and whether your timing is right. Timing matters. If you're on a 2-mile final and another aircraft comes on the CTAF announcing they are entering the downwind, that changes your situation. Are you going to be clear of the runway before they turn base? Do they need to know you're already on short final so they can plan around you? Good radio communication at a non-towered airport is really just good situational awareness expressed in words. Let me talk for a moment about a habit that will serve you forever. Listening before you transmit, this is maybe the most important radio skill that gets the least attention in training. Before you key up, listen. Is someone else mid-transmission? Wait. Is there a fast exchange happening on the frequency? Wait for a pause. Stepping on someone else's transmission causes both messages to come through garbled. Nobody hears anything useful. The technical term is blocking, and it happens when two transmissions overlap on the same frequency. The result is a screech, sometimes called a heterodyne, and all the information in both calls is lost. If you have ever heard a garbled mess on a frequency and could not make out a word, that is what happened. Two people transmitted at once. Now both of them have to say it again, and the frequency just got more congested. The fix is simple. Pause before you key up. 1 second of listening costs you nothing, and it prevents a whole chain of confusion. There is another habit worth building. Say it out loud before you say it on the radio. In your head, before you key that microphone, run through the four-part formula. Who am I calling? Who am I? Where am I? What do I want? If you can answer those four questions clearly in your head, you will sound clear on the frequency. If you cannot answer them, that is a sign you need another 10 seconds to think before you transmit. A lot of students practice radio calls at home. They pull up Live ATC, a service where you can listen to real air traffic control audio from airports around the country, and they just listen. They learn the tempo. They hear how controllers abbreviate. They notice how experienced pilots give concise call-ups. They start to hear what clean phraseology sounds like, which makes their own calls much easier to model. You do not have to wait until you are in the cockpit to practice radio work. You can do it in your car. Springfield Ground, Cessna 6 Papa Hotel at the South Ramp, with information Delta, ready to taxi for VFR departure to the north. Say it until it comes out without hesitation. It feels a little silly at first, it works. One more thing before I wrap up, emergency phraseology. You should know the words before you ever need them. Mayday, pan pan. Those are your two emergency and urgency calls. Mayday is for a situation that is life-threatening and immediate. You say it three times, mayday, mayday, mayday. Then you identify yourself, state your position, state the nature of the emergency, and state your intentions. If you can, give souls on board and fuel remaining. Pan-pan is for a situation that is urgent but not immediately life-threatening. You say it three times as well, pan-pan-pan-pan-pan. Same format after that, position, nature of the problem, what you need. The reason for saying the word three times is brevity combined with clarity. In a noisy cockpit, in a high-stress moment, with your hands busy, saying it once might not cut through. Three times means the controller and every other pilot on frequency heard the signal word clearly and knows to pay attention. The wrong time to be searching your memory for what's the word for an urgent situation that's not quite an emergency is when you're actually in one. Practice those words now, out loud. So they are there when you need them. The Airman certification standards are clear on communication. During your practical test, you need to demonstrate effective communication, proper phraseology, and the ability to manage the radios while handling other cockpit tasks. That last part is what the checkride is really testing. Your examiner knows that in the real world you will be navigating, talking, scanning, and managing the aircraft simultaneously. Clean radio work under those conditions is the real benchmark. The formula still works even in a busy cockpit. Who am I calling? Who am I? Where am I? What do I want? Four pieces every time. And if you ever blank, it is completely legal to say stand by while you get yourself organized. Controllers are human beings. They would rather you take 5 seconds and give them an accurate call than immediately transmit something confused. Stand by is a legitimate response. Use it if you need it. Today's episode leaned on the Aeronautical Information Manual, Chapter 4, and the Private Pilot Airman Certification Standards from the FAA. Both are free, both are worth reading, end to end at least once. More at radiohanger.com. I'm Pattern. The radio is just a conversation. Learn the language, practice the words, and it stops being intimidating pretty fast. See you next time.